Okay, let's start in Colossians chapter 1. There's so much going over in my spirit. Father, you're going to have to pour it out because I'm not sure how to get it out. But the title you gave me today is Kingdom Expansion, and that's the theme of this year. You know, last year we talked about intimacy, and I didn't realize when we were talking about intimacy last year that that was what would lead us into expanding our vision, expanding our understanding, expanding our realm of operations in the kingdom of God. You know, we've prayed for years and years, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so kingdom expansion covers every area of life. And it's God's presence manifesting in greater dimension through us. All right? And so the title that I got this morning was Kingdom Expansion Starts Within. Kingdom Expansion Starts Within. Within us, within who we are, but more in within our bringing our mind into union, into alignment with what our heart knows. Okay? Your heart, the real you, is 100% perfect, is united in Jesus, one with him, but our brain is often a disconnection with what our heart is saying and thinking. And when God said, I will put my laws in your mind and write it in your hearts, he's written it in our hearts and now he's putting it in our minds by us agreeing with what's in our heart. When he reveals a truth to us, we go, yep, I agree with that and I reject or I supersede the truth that I had before. Okay, because there's different levels of truth. And that's something I struggled with when I first heard that term. But that is the way God has made it. There's more revelation gets added on to the truth you already know. And he builds on it. So the renewing of the mind is expanding the way we think to agree with what God wants us to walk in, to live in, to operate in. For instance, when I say, as we said earlier, that rivers of living water flow out of your innermost being. Okay, that river of living water, you can see it in so many different dimensions of what that river is. And Stephanie mentioned it. Is it a little trickle? Or is it the Niagara Falls? Or is it something in between? How do you see that river of life flowing out of you? All right? And that's part of changing the way we think, to think, yeah, I've just got a little trickle at the moment, but Father, I thank you that you are giving me a gusher. We dug that well and it blew the top off the wellhead, okay? Or however you want to see it. And that's part of the revelation that I saw of where it talks about God sitting on his throne and the glory of God coming off his throne, okay? And I heard lightning-like shafts of glory coming off, but it's not just lightning-like shafts, it's a spherical radiance that comes out of his whole presence that is so bright and so glorious that the human body can't stand it, okay? It's not just the occasional burst of light comes out, it's who he is, okay? And so in that realm there is different revelations that we get, and it's all part of the truth. But what God is saying is, I want you to understand that expansion of the kingdom of heaven is you learning to live in and embrace the realities of the heavenly realm as you live here in this natural world. And so what I want to do this morning is go through a number of the scriptures that talk about the kingdom of heaven, that we can look at it in terms of how from within me the kingdom of heaven is expanding and is increasing and the power of God increases through us. Okay, so we start in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, and this is the verse that says, you all know it, this is out of the King James, this is the one where I want it, read out of the King James, who hath delivered us, this is talking about Jesus, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Okay, so that's what the Father did because of what Jesus did on the cross, dealing with the curse. The Father has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. So that's the first aspect to me of the kingdom starting within, is the kingdom of God is not Well, it has nothing to do with darkness. Okay, I'll get ahead of myself if I say something else, but it has nothing to do with darkness. Darkness is not the kingdom of God. In fact, it's the opposite of. And so what God is doing, he's saying, I'm taking you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you in the kingdom of my Son, which is the kingdom of light, the kingdom of power, the kingdom of celebration, the kingdom of joy. You've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Now the scripture explains that everyone is born in the kingdom of darkness. You are subject to Satan's power. You're under the, not us, you were. Everyone who's born is under the curse, subject to the natural realm. And separated from God, that's what happened through what Adam did. For in one man all sinned. But in one man all have been made alive. Okay, so Jesus has redeemed us. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Now have a look at Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. We just read earlier during communion, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness into the power of his Son. That's Ephesians 2. We read verse 13, that you were made afar off, now be made nigh. Well, verse 10 of this passage says, for we are his workmanship. This is the King James. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now in the Passion Translation, it puts it this way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We have become his poetry. Okay? He sings over you. He sings over you. You declare his beauty, his poetry. We have become his poetry. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. So that's what he's given to you, a destiny for you to fulfill, the good works that he has. And in the Greek, that word, in the King James says that you have been unto good works. In this Passion Translation, said anointed even before we were born to advance our destiny and the good works. That unto good works, the Greek word there means to be superimposed upon. It's not you doing it, in inverted commas. It manifests through you, your actions, but it is God doing it in you. So he says, fulfilling your destiny and the good works that he planned for you, he does it through you. That's where the expansion of the kingdom starts from within, is letting God do it from within us. What stops it? Fear, doubt, unbelief. That's our soulish thing, right? So renewing the way we think, changing the way we think to believe what God says, when he says, I will work out through you amazing things that you don't comprehend at this point, we go, yes, thank you, Father. And then when he tells you to do something, go, really, is that you, God? Yes, it is. Okay, so get on and do it, because he's not out there to hurt you. He's out there to bless you. It's the human reaction that goes, ooh, I'm not sure I want to do that. Okay, someone might laugh at me. Well, get used to it. So what if they laugh at you? Most people don't think about you anyway. You're the only one that really thinks about yourself. That's a fact. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, where'd that come from? Anyway, turn to Luke. Luke chapter 17. And this is the key verse. Luke chapter 17, verse 21. The kingdom of God starts within. Verse 21 says, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now that's Jesus speaking. So Jesus' declaration, verse 20 says, he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. Okay, when are we going to see the kingdom of God? Well, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So it's not something you look for to see, it's something that manifests through you. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. Don't go looking for it in the natural. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. Now that's an interesting getting your mind around that, because we just read that you've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of his Son, which is the kingdom of God. And then it says the kingdom of God is within you. So if you've been placed in the kingdom and the kingdom is within you, that means you are totally immersed in the kingdom. inside and outside. And so the expansion of the kingdom starts within here, of us believing that I am in God, He is in me, and living that way, letting that manifest in my thinking, in my expectations, in my meditation, in my prayer life, in whatever I'm doing, I am seeing God in me. And that makes us, or why the scripture calls us, a new creation. You're not who you used to be when you were born. You have been changed. You are no longer human. You are superhuman. Why do you think they have all those superhuman powers and all that stuff, those movies? Why? Because they're getting a hold of the reality of who you really are. Superheroes. Every kid wants, I love the superheroes. Well, guess what? That's who we are. They're just getting a hold of that and they don't realize that they have that privilege of being superhumans. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Another verse you all know well. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. This is just showing you the scriptures to reinforce the reality of what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're not who you used to be. So don't look at your past life and go, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that, I've messed up here, I failed. Guess what? That's history. In fact, it's not history, it's eradicated. God got rid of it. He erased it by the blood of Jesus. Doesn't even know it exists anymore. I'm going to read the same verse out of the Passion Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, and we talked about that song, Wait Upon the Lord, those that wait upon the Lord, the word kavah in the Hebrew, which means to be entwined in, like a three-strand rope meshed together, entwined in. That's where this comes to play here. If anyone is enfolded into Christ, in other words, if you have received Jesus and live in Him, this is who you are. He has become an entirely new person. It's good to see all you brand new people here, right? All that is related to the old order has vanished. Death hath no part of you anymore. Sin hath no part of you anymore. That old stuff is all gone. Behold, everything is fresh and new. And God hath made all things new and reconciled us unto Himself. Not by our strength or our ability that it did it. It was because of His love for us. So as a whole new creation, that's who you now are. Now, talking about the kingdom of God, you are a new creation placed in the kingdom. That's where we live. Now, kingdom expansion operates inside us, growing our awareness of the kingdom, our role in the kingdom, our destiny, what God wants for us. And it manifests through us in the expansion of loosing, dissolving, and undoing the work of the devil. All right? That's the basic thrust of this year's theme, is seeing that kingdom expansion in myself, and as a result, in what happens in the circumstances, the community, the places God takes us. We see the circumstances change. We see people set free. We see bondages broken. As I was thinking that, what came to mind was Daniel. Turn to Daniel. Daniel's vision, Daniel chapter 2. It wasn't Daniel's vision, actually. It was Daniel's interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's vision. Remember the story? Nebuchadnezzar woke up one morning and said, I had a dream, but I don't remember what it was. Any of you ever been there? In this case, Nebuchadnezzar was, it was a bad dream. I didn't know what it was, okay? In our case, it's been good dreams, okay? God wants to bless you with good dreams. In fact, a guy was asking me, do you believe dreams are real? And I was like, yep, they certainly are, okay? And you get to influence and change the way you dream. Anyway, the Holy Spirit will do that in you. But here in Daniel chapter 2, God reveals the dream to Daniel, and He explains it to the king, and He says, King, you saw a great image. This is verse 31. And this great image was brightness was excellent. And had a head of gold and a chest of silver and loins of brass, legs of iron and feet of iron and clay. You all remember that, okay? Well, drop down to verse 34. Then thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away. And that's talking about the kingdoms of men, right? Because it goes on and explains the gold was King Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom, silver was the Medes and Persians, brass, and then you get down to iron being Rome. Okay, and so he says all of that is as chaff before what? Before the stone that was cut without hands. Now we know, the scripture says, Jesus was the stone. So the kingdom of his son is the stone. So it's not just Jesus, it's each of us too. Why? Because you are in Jesus. You are in the kingdom. You are the kingdom. We are the kingdom. And so here it says, that no blew them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, is that kingdom expansion or what? Right? Cut without hands and it filled the whole earth. Covered everything. Go to Isaiah chapter 9 and link that with this scripture. Isaiah chapter 9. And again, you know this one probably because it's a song they sing at Christmas time. Okay, 9 verse, starting in verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." That's Jesus, right? So, now look at the next verse. "And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end." Now you think about that stone that grew and covered the whole earth. The kingdom of God. Here it says the increase of his government, and as a result of that government of peace, there shall be no end. Now I thought about that and thought, okay, so how far does it increase? It never stops increasing, right? Isn't that what that says? Of the increase of his government, there is no end. It's an eternally increasing government. Don't understand how that works in the natural. But that's what the word says, the increase of his government. Now, how does that government get exercised? Through us. God has chosen to partner with us, made us part of himself, to create, to restore, to renew, to expand his kingdom. I don't know why he chose that, but he's limited himself to do it through us. Probably because he thinks that'll be a lot more fun than doing it himself. Isn't it a lot more fun to do things with someone else? All right? So he's got a whole bunch of people. He's going to, come on, let's go have fun. Let's create. Let's do some exciting things. Okay, so of the increase of his government and of peace, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever and ever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall achieve this. So I stopped after that first phrase, of the kingdom, increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. Okay? And then he goes on and explains in the rest of the verse, what kingdom is talking about? The kingdom of David. What's the kingdom of David? It's the kingdom of Jesus, because Jesus is the king on the throne of David. He's the descendant of David that was God covenanted with. Of your descendants, there will always be one. Actually, to Abraham, through David, there will be one that will sit on that throne. Now, Jesus is on the throne. And you are on the throne. You're not just some pleb existing here for some no reason, right? You're a king and a priest. God has a reason. He wants to work out, we just read it in Ephesians 2, that he can work out the works, your destiny, to fulfill in you his divine purpose, to manifest his glory through you. So you're not just struggling to get by. You're here with a glorious divine purpose to minister life, to bring joy to the Father. Now, another thing that I heard, and this was an interesting one, okay, and I'm going to put it in the present tense, is God says to you, do you think I'm pleased when you heal the sick? Yes. Yes. Do you think I'm pleased when you lead someone to Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you think I'm pleased when you worship me? Do you think I'm pleased when you follow what the Holy Spirit tells you to do? These questions, or very similar questions, were asked to Nancy, okay? And then the father said, what do you think really pleases me? She was like, tell me. And she said, and he said, when you live in my face, when you live in my face, when you continually behold me, when your whole desire is to be in me, with me, walking with me, knowing me, because out of that everything else flows. He said, you can do all the things. You can prophesy over people. You can pray. You can heal the sick. You can do that stuff. And he says, it kind of pleases me, but it's not what pleases me. What pleases me is you living in my face, living in me, observing me, operating with me, enjoying me, because out of that comes the fulfillment of your destiny. Out of that comes the fulfillment of joy that he has given to you. Out of that comes the... And she went on to say, you know, the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you. You know that scripture. And she says, and yet very few Christians, very few believers operate in anything near the fullness of the power of God. She said, the only way to operate in that is to live in his face. It's in him, beholding his face. When I behold your face, you know that one, the things of this world diminish as I see your glory, as I see your face. Was it, that song we used to sing? King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is it? Things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace, okay? Which is your face, looking at his eyes, basically seeing his eyes, yeah. No one in their natural flesh is not born again, but you have, because you're born again. You're a new creation. You live in him. But living in his face, it's the term I used, or that God used, but it's basically being focused on him with everything that you have, the intimacy of his presence. Because if you're looking at someone and talking to them, you're looking at their eyes, you're looking at their face, right? That's the intimacy that he's talking about. So here, the increase of his government, where it says you get to operate in that realm, he shall order it to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord will perform it. He's talking about the judgment and the justice is you judging and bringing justice to the circumstances that are against God. Okay? So that's like when the curse is operating, sickness is there, accidents, whatever, your judgment is, that's not right. I reject that. I speak life into the situation. I command God's blessing over this. I prevent the curse operating. And that's just. Why? Because he is the deceiver. He is the deception. He is the destroyer. Justice wants the right thing done. Okay? So of his kingdom there shall be no end, and he will order it and establish it with judgment and justice forever and ever. That's what we are part of. Okay, go over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God, which we read in Luke there, the kingdom of God is within you. And it says here, if the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, which is Paul's way of saying it's not of this natural world. It's not made up of your performance. It's not made up of what you do, how you behave. What is it? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Now that is expanding within you. It starts within here, and it grows, and it manifests out of you. So let's look at the three things. Number one, righteousness. The more revelation you get of how righteous you have been made, the greater the kingdom expands within you. Whew. The greater the revelation you have of the righteousness that has been imputed to you, or the righteousness that you have been made, the more you have, the greater will be the kingdom operating in you. It expands the more you get that revelation. Have a look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, we'll start there. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Well-known verse. Okay, so receiving the abundance of grace, God's supply, and his gift of righteousness. And receiving it means agreeing with it, acknowledging it, embracing it, living in it, seeing yourself that way. It's not just, yeah, I've received the gift. No, you make use of it. You embrace it. You live in it. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, condemnation came upon all men, is a better way to put it. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift of life came upon all men unto justification. Okay? For by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. That's talking about you. All of us are made righteous through what Jesus did. Moreover, the law entered, or was given, that the offence might abound, to show just how bad the sin and the curse was. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's power supersedes by far. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if we're talking about the kingdom of God, which we are, it says grace reigns through righteousness. So if you don't see yourself as righteousness, as righteous, grace can't reign. Why are so many Christians struggling? Why are so many believers hurting, sick, broken? Because they don't see themselves as righteous. They're told all the time, you need to confess your sin. No, your sin's been forgiven. Don't focus on sin, focus on your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus, that I am your righteousness. That grace might reign through righteousness, and what does that produce? Unto eternal life. Immortality. You can't get that unless you know you're righteous. Now, once they die, pass from this natural world, they'll realize, wow, God, you made me righteous. Now I'm living in eternal life. Well, the good news is you can get that now. You don't have to wait till you go through the grave, okay? You get to live in that eternal life now. Grave is not death. Natural death is not the arbiter of whether you get to live in eternal life or not. You get to live in it now. And so that's why I say understanding the righteousness you've been made and living in that, getting a greater revelation of that, as you spend time in the presence of the Lord in meditation, you realize just how pure and righteous you have been made. That is the kingdom expanding within you, because when you know I am righteous, you know that whatever you're doing is not you doing it. It's the power of God operating through you. It's not how big is my faith, it's no, how big is Jesus' faith? He's done it all for me. Thank you, Father. Have a look at Revelation chapter 7. We'll go there next. Revelation chapter 7. It's another expansion of out of Revelation, more of what God wants us to have. Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation as well. Revelation chapter 7. Okay. Verse 14. Okay, now this is the picture. What's happened here is John is in heaven and he sees a great multitude of people that he can't number. And the angel comes up to him and says, do you know who these are? And his answer in verse 14 is, and I said unto him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, have been made righteous. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. When the Lord showed me this, this is quite a revelation out of what we're talking about, the kingdom here. So in the Passion Translation it says this, I answered, my Lord, you must know. And he said to me, they are ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and have emerged from the midst of great pressure and ordeal. Now, for many years I'd heard this here saying, not saying, but being interpreted, that this was the host that came out of the great tribulation. Okay, that time on the earth when, in eschatology teaching, which a lot of that is man's way of interpreting it. What this is actually saying is, those who have emerged from the midst of great pressure and ordeal, that is those who have overcome sin and death, the law of sin and death, those believers today who have lived in the power of God and have overcome the circumstances, the situations, the curse, the stuff that operates in this natural world. So it's that great crowd are those that have emerged from great pressure and ordeal. In the King James it said, those which have come out of great tribulation. God considers what you go through here in this natural world, great tribulation. And he says, those that have come out of that are those that have been made white by the blood of the Lamb. Your righteousness has delivered you from suffering under the great pressure and ordeal of the natural curse. That's why you get to live healthy and whole. Why you get to live free from guilt and condemnation. Why you get to live in the joy of the Lord. Why you get to live carefree. You don't take care, you cast your care on Jesus. Right? That's who you are. And so that great multitude before the throne are those who have embraced the righteousness God has made them. And I believe that's going to be just about everyone that's ever lived. Okay? They're all going to get that revelation that that's who they are. Okay? Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Now, you are his temple. So I'd always seen this as, yep, they're up in heaven in the temple that was mirrored in the tabernacle on earth, and that's where they're, well, guess where you are? There and here. And your body is a temple. Mm-hmm. It's part of the temple. You are a living stone, part of the temple of God. And so you live day and night in his presence. In the King, in the Passion Translation, it says, for this reason, they are before the throne of God, ministering to him as priests, day and night, within his cloud-filled sanctuary. And the enthroned one spreads over them his tabernacle shelter. That's who you are, ministering as a priest. Are you a priest of God? Yes, yes you are, king and a priest. So you're in his presence, ministering to him. And he spreads, encases you, an umbrella all around you and through you, his tabernacle shelter, his presence. And then he is the result of you living in that state, always in his face, to use that phrase. This is the result. Their souls, which is your mind, will, and emotions, their souls will be completely satisfied. All your mental, physical, emotional needs will be met. Their souls will be completely satisfied, filled with joy. And neither the sun nor any scorching heat will affect them. In other words, even if the curse tries to come against you, it ain't going to touch you. For the Lamb at the center of the throne continuously shepherds them unto life, guiding them to the everlasting fountains of the water of life, and God will wipe away from their eyes every last tear. What a wonderful life you have. And this is not one day in the sweet by and by. This is talking about today. That's the revelation of kingdom expansion. This is today. This is what we get to live in today. God wipes away the tears. He fills you with his satisfaction, with his joy, with his life. And you get to live in the throne with the Lamb continually guiding you to those everlasting fountains of the water of life. The Zoe life of God flowing out of you because of your union with Jesus. Okay, I haven't got time to go into any more of that. I hope that gives you a little bit of a revelation of what God's got for you. Because you are his righteousness, he wants all this manifesting in and through you, totally satisfied, filled with him. So he said, of the increase of his government, there is no end. And that government, or that kingdom, is righteousness. We just read about that. Because you are righteous, you get to operate in the fountain of the water of life. That's where we live. Number two, revelation of increasing peace. Peace, shalom in the Hebrew. Nothing missing, nothing broken. A revelation that that's the state you're supposed to live in. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything the way God ordered it to be. The way he designed it from the foundation of the world. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer through each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. Peace. God ministering into you life, answering your questions. When you rightfully demand what's rightfully due, whether it's divine health, provision, protection, wisdom, insight, understanding, clarity, whatever you want to call it, says here, God will give it to you. When you put your faith-filled requests, when you live in that saturated state of being in him, every detail of your life, He looks after, and his wonderful peace transcends what you can understand with your natural mind. We live in that peace. How about John chapter 14? How does Jesus explain this? And of the increase of peace there shall be no end. John chapter 14, verse 27. In the King James it says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You have Jesus' peace. Is he worried about anything?
No.
Is he stressed over circumstances? Concerned about how he's going to handle all the stuff that's going on? No. Do you think he has the answer to it? Yep, one or two. That's why you need to be connected to him, living in him, and he will show you. 16 verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." In other words, trials and temptations will come, but guess what? They've already been overcome. You don't have to submit to them, you don't have to live with them. And what Jesus was saying in the previous, where he says there, "These things have I spoken unto you," part of what he said back in verses 22 to 24 were, "Demand what's rightfully due, and it shall be given unto you." Don't beg God. That's literally what he said here. Don't beg. Just demand what's rightfully due. "These things I've spoken to you in Proverbs, but the Father will reveal to you plainly. At that day, ask, demand what's rightfully due in my name, and I will pray the Father, and he will give it to you." So the peace that Jesus had was because his Father provided everything he needed. I only hear my Father say, I only do what I see my Father do. So why are we in God's presence? Why are we in his face in that expression? Why are we living in him, continually aware of him? That peace can manifest. Because then you'll have the answer to every situation. You know how to handle it. You won't be stressing over, oh, I'm not sure what's going to happen here. How am I going to make enough money to do this? How am I going to... God knows. He's got your answer. So, revelation of the increasing of peace as part of the kingdom of God, part of it starting within here, learning to rest in that place. That's peace and rest, the twins go hand in hand. The third part of the kingdom that Romans 14 says is increasing joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God wants you living in joy. Acts chapter 2, verse 28, and this is a quote out of Psalm 16. This is what Peter quoted. He said, "Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance," by seeing your face, by living in your face. Okay, so go over to where the quote is from. This is Acts 2, verse 28. Go over to Psalm, where this verse is quoted from, Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16, and it's the last verse, verse 11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life," right? "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures evermore." So that's the passage that Peter picks up in Acts chapter 2 there, when he's talking to the people saying, what is this that's happening? He said, this is the revelation of the prophet. What I pick up out here, "in thy presence," now in Acts it's quoted, "thy countenance," "in thy presence." Thy countenance is fullness of joy. In your presence. Okay, in your face. And then we have, go and have a look at Psalm chapter 4. I want to read, there's four scriptures out of Psalms I want to read that talk about his countenance and the joy that comes because of it. Psalm chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Lord, prove them wrong when they say God can't help you. Let the light of your radiant face break through and shine upon us." Now, of course, David's praying for this to happen. For you, it has happened. His countenance has broken through and shined upon you, the radiance of his face. "The intense pleasure you give me surpasses the gladness of harvest time." So this is talking about the joy. "The intense pleasure you give me surpasses the gladness of harvest time, even more than when the harvesters gaze upon the ripened grain, and when their new wine overflows." In other words, when they're drunk. "Your presence gives me more intense pleasure than anything you can get in this natural world, through seeing his countenance. In the King James, let me read in the King James, the same passage, Psalm 4, verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and wine are increased. All right? So again, it's his countenance that gives joy. Psalm chapter 17. We just read Psalm 16, verse 11, the last verse. Now go to Psalm 17, verse 15. In the King James it says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. So David here is saying, in righteousness I can behold your face. And when I do that, I will be satisfied when I am like you. What's he prophesying? The state you're in now. You have been made righteous. You walk in the presence of the Father, in his face, and you are satisfied because as Jesus is, so are you in this world. You are made in his likeness. 17 verse 11. Passion Translation puts it this way. 17 verse 15. As for me, because I am innocent, I will see your face. Until I see you are who you really are. Until I see you for who you really are. Then I will awaken with your form and be fully satisfied, fulfilled in the revelation of your glory in me. That's who you've been made, fully satisfied in his image, the revelation of your glory, his glory manifesting through us. Go over to chapter 21, Psalm 21, starting in verse 3. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest him even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. He's talking about the king, talking about himself. Okay, this is what you've done for the king. Because the first verse says, the king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. Right, verse 6, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Right, so again, it's his countenance. Verse 6 in the Passion Translation says, in your victory heaps blessing after blessing upon him. What joy and bliss he tastes, rejoicing before your face. That's what God has done for us. Thank you, Jesus. And final one is Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Again, out of the Passion Translation. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior. For no matter what, I will sing with praise. For living before his face is my saving grace. That's what delivers us from the curse. Thank you, Father. Final scripture, Isaiah chapter 40, 4-0. Isaiah 40, verse 31. You recognize this one? We sang it earlier, right? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And again, that's the word, they that wait is the word kavah, which means to be entwined, to entangle. And the result of that, as I say, is the blessing of God. Renew your strength. His power enabling you, healing you, strengthening you, giving the zeal and the vim for life. Mount up on wings as eagles, flying above all the circumstances, ruling and reigning over them, commanding them to behave and to come into right order. They shall walk, they shall run and not be weary. It sure sounds like God's protection, his blessing, his encouragement, his energy. They shall walk and not faint, living in his joy, in his salvation, in his provision. That's his plan. And so it starts within us. It starts with what we believe. The kingdom grows from within us. All of his anointing, his power, his delight, his purposes, his destiny for you start from within us, believing what he says. Not trying to work it out ourselves, not trying to figure out how I'm supposed to get it, but spending time looking in his face, waiting on him, walking in him, enjoying him. That's his plan. And the result? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That you get to live long, enjoying life, full of joy, celebrating the goodness of God. For that's who he is. Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you that you have redeemed us from the curse, that you have given us such a wonderful future. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to reveal to us more of your love, even as we've experienced this morning. And we give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen.